If you really want to understand the life of a fish in their home, start spending time living in their environment and share that experience through the lens of a camera. Today's segment is part of the series titled, Water is a Many Splendid Thing. Hello, I'm Steve Baker. This is Living Water.
Last summer, National Geographic was producing their television show called Monster Fish, and they were doing a program on sturgeon, and they were looking at sturgeon populations up and down the coast from the Columbia River to the Rogue River to the Klamath River, the three main systems that have spawning sturgeon populations. But they had no footage of sturgeon in the wild, so they contacted me and asked me if I could go shoot some more sturgeon footage. And I'm in the Klamath River, and the water quality in the Klamath River in the summertime is really tough. The nutrients and the algae blooms and all that stuff means there's only a window of a few weeks where you're not getting the spring runoff that's kind of silty, and you're not getting the summer algae blooms that are just thick like pea soup. So I dove in this pool that was 60 feet deep in the Klamath, and the deeper you go, the darker it gets because of the algae and things. And I'm down there following this green sturgeon around and going, oh my god, there is green sturgeon. Oh my god, look at how huge that thing is. Oh my god. And then suddenly this white sturgeon swims over, which is literally twice the size of a big 6-foot green sturgeon. And this giant school bus of a sturgeon swims right by, and I suddenly have in the frame green sturgeon on one side and a white sturgeon on the other. Seeing the two species at once side by side and getting that on the camera was completely unexpected.
Thomas Dunklin started his career as a geologist with an emphasis on fisheries restoration. He noticed that enormous amounts of money are spent on the collection of data and reports, but the reports aren't read all that much. An unread report is like no report was ever written. One day when Thomas was filming fish leaping up culverts as part of a fish passage inventory, he noticed people were crying out when they saw the footage of fish flying up in the air and falling with a thud onto the rocky bottom of a stream bed. This is when he realized that if he wanted to communicate scientific knowledge and wisdom, it would have to be done in a way that is actually received by the public. Images work. Well, Tom decided to change how he studied fish behavior in stream bed conditions by carrying a video camera as his notebook. An added bonus to this experience was Thomas's heightened observation of changing physical conditions in the aquatic world. His videography and personal health also served as a measure of the conditions of the waterway and the health of the stream.
You know, sometimes water quality trumps water quantity. I've worked on the Klamath Dam removal issues here now for about 10 years, and everybody's always arguing about how much water is going downstream. That is fundamentally important. Water quality is much trickier because it has to do with temperature and nutrient loads and all kinds of other things. And when I started diving in the water, suddenly visibility, turbidity, algae presence or absence, all those are influencing the quality of my shots. And so I'm starting to be more sensitive to them. And I'm also sensitive to the fact that I can dive in the water and come out with a disease, ear infections, skin infections. If I swallow any water, I can have other kinds of problems. And when I started diving in the Klamath, I got my first ear infections ever. I got my first skin rashes ever. And you know, that would be after a whole summer of diving in the clean water of the Smith and the clean water of the Trinity. I spend an hour in the Klamath and I come out with a bad ear infection. And I go, well, if it's affecting me in that way, how is it affecting the myriad species, even like the dinosaur sturgeon and the salmonids that are reliant on cold, clean water? How do we expect those species to survive these changes?
Photographing both pictures and videos of watery landscapes from inside the habitat has added an element of reality for Thomas. Swimming with the fish has given him a fish-eyed view of what water means to aquatic life. Experiencing and observing water conditions that create hardship for fish only strengthens his sense of responsibility to support stewardship of a stream or river's watershed. Although we can't do much to protect against a naturally occurring severe drought, we have a moral responsibility to correct for impacts that are caused by society's mistakes or oversights.
Water is life. You know, water is life. Without water, we are dead. And with a fish, that's obvious. Without water, the fish are going nowhere. That's with the Matol footage that I was just shooting last week, and I'm gonna go back there tomorrow, basically, because we still haven't had rain. And without water, natural systems are completely disrupted. You cannot take the water out of one basin and deliver it to another basin and expect the source basin to still be healthy. When we know that something is the result of our actions, and especially a specific action, like the building of a dam or the return flow from an ag field, then those are the things that we can fix. And our ability to control water flow in times of no rainfall and things like that, those things are out of our hands. But the things that are within our control, we have literally a moral obligation to treat those things.
Fundamental to our lives and environment, I'm Steve Baker. This is Living Water.